This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Why is last week's vote by the Irish people, per referendum, regarding the legalization of same-sex marriages important to us? What lessons, if any, can we learn? Now, the vote was reviewed by specifically the liberal press and declared as being a beacon of light, and that Ireland now is showing the way out of darkness. But is this the way God looks at it? Is that the way Christians should look at it, based on the Bible? In Deutsche Welle, dated May 24, the following was stated. Ireland voted by a landslide in favor of changing the constitution to recognize marriage between same-sex couples. It makes a significant step in a predominantly Catholic country where homosexuality was a criminal offense until 1993. And I might add, abortion still is prohibited there. Ireland is set to become the 19th country in the world to allow gay marriage, as well as the first to do so by referendum, in other words, where people had their say. The EU Observer added on May 23 that following the referendum, Parliament will introduce a bill to amend the Irish Constitution. The Irish Times says the law will pass before the summer break. The new wording in the Irish Charter is to say, quote, marriage may be contracted in accordance with law by two persons without distinction as to their sex, close quote. The vote means Ireland joins several other EU member states allowing same-sex marriages, including Belgium, Denmark, France, Spain, and the Netherlands, the first in the world in 2001. And of course, the pressure is now being put on other countries such as Germany, such as Australia, to also legalize same-sex marriages. At this point, the German government has refused to do so. The Local wrote on May 28 that 3 days after Ireland voted yes to gay marriage in a referendum, German government spokesman Stefan Seibert defended the moves that aim to ensure equal treatment for gay couples without granting them the right to legally wed. We will in Germany have to find our way, he said. It is not an equalization with marriage. Putting it on the same footing as marriage is not a goal of this government, he said. But this is this government, and we don't know what's going to happen next, because according to a poll which Der Spiegel Online published this morning in the German edition, 2/3 of the Germans are for the legalization of same-sex marriages. So if there was a referendum over there, then, of course, you know, that would be almost like the same result as we had it in Ireland. In fact, 3/4 of Germans are for the ability of same-sex couples to adopt children. Now, the Los Angeles Times reported on May 26 that a close aide to Pope Francis on Tuesday denounced Ireland's vote last week to legalize same-sex marriages, calling it a defeat for humanity. Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of State, told reporters he was, quote-unquote, deeply saddened by the outcome of the Friday referendum in Ireland, in which many voters defied the Roman Catholic Church by favoring marriage for same-sex couples. Although Francis, Pope Francis, made headlines in 2013 by saying, "Who am I to judge?" when asked for his views on homosexuality, he has fiercely defended heterosexual marriage and traditional family values. During his trip to the Philippines in January, Francis said the family was, quote, threatened by growing efforts on the part of some to redefine the very institution of marriage, close quote. The Vatican views homosexual acts as unnatural. In November, Francis said at an interreligious conference that, quote, children have the right to grow up in a family with a father and a mother capable of creating a suitable environment for the child's development and emotional maturity, close quote. And on Monday, the Vatican's daily newspaper called the Irish vote a quote-unquote defeat. and a challenge for the whole church. Now, that's the official position of the Catholic Church, which is kind of funny in that there are so many within even the priesthood who engage in homosexuality. The Protestant Church in Germany takes a different view. Now, the Protestant Church in Germany is the second biggest church in Germany following the Roman Catholic Church. It's pretty much like the Reformed Lutheran Church here in this country. And they took the view, according to a statement by Der Spiegel Online this morning, that practicing homosexuality is not abnormal or sinful. And in accordance with that statement, they have said now that they are going to bless same-sex unions in their church as if they were married, whether or not the German government endorsed it or not. The interesting thing to me was how the yes vote in Ireland came about. And that should tell us a lot about what's happening in this country and what is happening around the world in so-called Western civilized countries, quote-unquote. On May 27, Breitbart published this article. The world has now seen that last Friday, Ireland voted 62% to 38% in favor of same-sex marriages. The symbolic significance of the vote can hardly be missed. Once Catholic, Ireland is now a modern, quote-unquote, tolerant, secular, and inclusive society in the eyes of our peers in the Western world. Now, the author is one who voted against same-sex marriage. He goes on to say, arrayed against us was every major political party, all of the mainstream media, an army of celebrities, an enormous financial resource. On our side was a very badly weakened Catholic Church, discredited by the child sex abuse scandals and its own authoritarian part. The Catholic Church did not play a front-of-house role in the campaign because it knew if it did, it would have been counterproductive. Instead, the Catholic bishops limited themselves to issuing pastoral letters on the subject, which some priests read out at masses and some did not. The yes side in the campaign has also benefited hugely from millions upon millions of American dollars. The money came from an American foundation, and it was used to turn the LGBT lobby into one of the most formidable lobbies the country has ever seen. The money from America is almost all one way, from the pockets of American liberals into the pockets of Irish liberals. But the Irish media cared not a whit about the fact that the LGBT lobby here is so lavishly funded with American dollars. By changing the Constitution, the Irish people, whether they know it or not, have now declared that the marriage of two men or two women is as, quote, natural, primary, and fundamental, close quote, to society as the sexual unions of men and women. Roughly 30% of posters put up by the no side during the campaign were illegally torn down by yes side activists who often boasted about it on social media. Torrents of abuse was directed at no side speakers on social media on a daily basis. The result was that many ordinary no voters were scared to speak to journalists because of what would then be directed at them as a result. An 87-year-old priest wrote to me Wednesday and expressed very well what happened here in Ireland. Quote, compassionate care of homosexual people was confused with the nature of marriage. Close quote. I cannot sum it up any better than that, the author wrote. But you see, we got to understand that the agenda of those who are for same-sex marriage is not going to stop there. The Huffington Post, a very left-wing liberal magazine, as you know, recently published an article where they put forth what the agenda is. And many points were listed, one of which was the idea that one shall not, must not ever try to persuade or to convince a practicing homosexual to stop practicing homosexuality and to, quote-unquote, change his normal, quote-unquote, conduct. What I've been saying so far and what I'm going to say in a few minutes could very well be classified by some as hate speech. And that is why so many don't dare to speak about these issues, and why so many even Republican candidates for the presidency will in all likelihood not continue to speak about same-sex marriages. Some have already refused to do so. Marco Rubio recently made a comment about it, and he was terribly misquoted in the New York Times. So now, what does the Bible say about all of this? I'd like to read to you from a statement in the letter of Jude. Jude, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Some say, oh, well, that's all Old Testament stuff and we don't care about it. Here's Jude, a New Testament apostle, and he wrote this letter just prior to the book of Revelation was published. And that is what he said. And I'm reading from chapter 1, the letter of Jude only has one chapter, and in verse 7. First, let me read it to you from the Revised Standard Version. It says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise acted immorally and indulged in unnatural lusts, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. But I would say the Living Bible in this particular case renders the meaning even better. Now, sometimes the Living Bible is horribly wrong. We understand that, we should at least, but here in this particular case, they are very correct in what I am quoting. It says, and don't forget the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, all full of lust of every kind, including lust of men for other men. Those cities were destroyed by fire and continue to be a warning to us. Are they continuing to be a warning to us? Or is the prophecy of Isaiah coming true where people don't care and actually say things totally in contradiction to the Bible? Now let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 18 from the New King James Version saying this. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if it was a cart rope. And now verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Those who call evil good. Now, the Bible calls same-sex relationships evil. And we are saying now today, now it's good because that's how people were created. And then the Bible says, woe to those who call good evil. The Bible says, a marriage should be between a man and a woman only, and that's good. But others say, no, that's evil, because really a marriage should be between just about anybody who wants to be, quote-unquote, married. Are we, as Christians, afraid to speak up for the values of the Bible because of the repercussions, as they happen in Ireland, as they are happening in the United States on almost a daily basis? Are our politicians afraid to speak up for what's right because they want to have votes? And most in the United States of America today are also for the legalization of same-sex marriage. And so if even Republican politicians would speak up for the right values, they are afraid that they wouldn't get the votes they need. What a terrible indictment against politics. What a terrible indictment against the cowardness of those who are supposed to lead us. The Republicans, they mostly are for same-sex marriage anyhow, which I kind of feel rather strange that leading Democrats who are quote-unquote practicing Catholics and who even makes this point very clear, even so far that on Ash Wednesday they have a cross of ash on their forehead, they are all for things which the Roman Catholic Church officially condemns. Now, you figure this one out. I'm sure that if you would ask many of those in Ireland who voted for same-sex marriages whether they believe that they are practicing Catholics, they would probably tell you yes. It's a total inconsistency. People are totally void of standards. People don't know anymore what to believe. If we were to go back to the Bible and would believe what the Bible says, we would have clear standards, and we need to stand up for those. Are we? Or are we too afraid? Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.